Bienvenue. Good afternoon.
Sorry, I'm like, there I go. Oh, off and on. All right, there we are.
Okay.
Hello.
Here, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm wonderful, and I think Joe is about to join us. Hello, Joe, how are you?
Afternoon. Good.
Afternoon.
Hey, Joe.
Okay. Hey, Joe. Hey, guys.
Are any of your CAs going to join us today?
I think so. Let's just pull back.
We'll wait for a moment.
What would you prefer?
I would like to have them on the call just so that they're in simpatico with what you're doing and can kind of figure out ways to continue to best support you. So it's kind of good that they're on. And they may, you know, get something out of it. Here's Nicole, so I'll let Nicole in.
We might see the top of Janora's forehead today.
Okay. All right.
This is a big one. We'll tell you all of the important market-moving comments you need to watch for. And
I'm giving you a little background of Monterey. I went and escaped the smoke the other day and rented an e-bike and did a little bike trip and a couple of pictures. So I put that up as my background today.
Nice.
Yeah, thank you.
Anyway, let's talk about what's happening around it. We're going to talk about later on. $319 per share, that would be
so as soon as Nicole joins us, we'll kind of go and get started. Hello, Nicole.
Hi, I'm here. How are you?
I'm good. Okay, so look, we've got a lot to cover today, and before we do, let's spend a moment. Oh, we've got another person joining us, so I'll let them in. Okay. All right. So before we get started, is there anything that you want to particularly talk about relative to what we covered on our last session, or anything that's come to your mind since the last session that we should spend a few moments talking about? So, you know, I always like to start with your agenda first, and then I've got a lot to cover as well. So, Amir, anything on your mind since our last conversation?
No.
Okay.
All good.
How about you, Joe?
I think you've given us a lot to do in terms of preparing a letter and making a presentation or making a call to clients. Of course, you say everything is better in person, but it's hard to do in person these days. Between the letter and then I have not been able to really look at my book and segregate my book and try to understand my book. I don't know that I'm qualified to really do it myself. So I haven't really worked on the book aspect.
Okay.
I agree in general with what we're talking about.
Because
Mijanu has been coaching me in this direction the past 9 months, in terms of actually doing the homework and specifically pinpointing I've been lax.
Okay. Well, look, you know, keep in mind, I'm not reporting anything to anybody. So, you know, we can be really honest with each other. And some of this can be a little bit overwhelming. So what I want you to do is just take your time. You know, go through 10 clients and then, try to do, you know, 8 to 10, in every couple of days so that you're not just overwhelming yourself with the segmentation strategy. As this unfolds, you'll begin to kind of understand why it's so important and so critical. But I thank you for your honesty. And throughout this program, this is going to be a journey. Okay. So I don't want you to feel overwhelmed, and many of the concepts will be reviewed and repeated. Okay. So, Mijanu, anything that comes to your mind regarding your level of comfort with the material or anything that's on your mind?
No, nothing in particular.
Okay. All right. Well, how about you, Nicole?
No, nothing from me.
Okay. And I'm not sure who's joined us on the other end. There's not a name there.
Nora.
Oh, Nora. Hi, Nora. Anything on your mind regarding the materials?
I just kind of read the article that you just sent us.
Okay.
About, you know, the niche market, the pain points, so forth and so on.
Okay.
I probably want to agree with Joe. I think that we probably need to put more time and more effort into preparing better.
Okay.
But, you know, it's kind of like all kind of new, but it all very interesting, and it's something that we definitely need to pursue.
Okay.
But, yeah, we just need to just kind of like, you know, at least I need to put more time into it.
Okay. One of the things I might suggest that you all do is maybe try to huddle up, 20 minutes before the call, or have a 20-minute session, you know, once a week, and talk about, you know, how we implement, what we're doing to implement these concepts that we talk about. I think that that might be, you know, a helpful strategy. Well, look, let's get into the material for today. Mijanu, I know you wanted the focus of today's call to be on centers of influence. And as it so happens, the second call is about centers of influence. So what I thought I would do is cover the materials for this week and some of the items that I covered. So, and you feel free to interrupt me when you can. I put up a presentation, so I'm going to see what I can do to get that presentation up. Hold on one moment. I'm going to go to screen share. Okay. Can you see my screen okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good. Okay. So what we want to do is, you know, kind of cover this COI piece. So when you think about this agenda, it's in several phases, and I only have 10 slides, so they're not going to take me forever to get to. But it's, one, we talk about the service model and your brand, your scheduling and the folder system, and building a concierge practice, the 12-4-2 concept, which was a lot that we reviewed on our first session. In phase two of the presentation, we kind of talk about this enthusiastically endorsed model, and we'll cover many of these concepts again. Centers of influence, the 90-day free look, this referral model, VIPSA, and the script that I emailed to you all this morning. Getting the personal introductions, and then the follow-up with an executive summary. And the phase three of the presentation, more on niche markets and establishing this emotional connection with clients. And then, you know, how are we going to track Supernova? So let's kind of get into it. So your service model by way of review, can you see all of this with the, let me just hide the thumbnails for a moment. So in your model, 12-4-2, what you're attempting to do is differentiate yourself with your service model, giving your clients 12 appointments or 12 contacts 4 appointments, 2 of them being in-person reviews, okay, and the other 2 being telephonic reviews. You're giving them a 1-hour response to their problems or concerns, and that's intercepted by your team of practice managers, your CAs. And then you're going to communicate a 24-hour resolution, make sure that they have a financial plan, intergenerational planning, and maybe you're also using some kind of technology support system like Salesforce. Okay? So niche markets is one of the subjects that relates to centers of influence. And your centers of influence are people that like you, they trust you, you like them, and they have the potential to provide referrals and are willing to do so. But they may come from your existing book of existing relationships, and they know a lot of people. They travel in the right social circles, and they may be connected to a specific niche market or markets. So when you go through your book, what I'd like you to think about is targeting 6 COIs per producer. Okay? So that would be, you know, a total of, you know, 18 centers of influence. Now, you may have them already on the books. They may be individuals that you haven't really cultivated or explained your service model to. But now you have the opportunity to do that. And that's going to shore up your relationship with the COIs. In Supernova, everybody gets scheduled. Your clients get scheduled. Your prospects get scheduled. Your centers of influence get scheduled. And you should have a folder for your niche markets. And your natural niche are kind of the clients that you started with, you came into the business with. They could be business owners. They might be retirees from a specific, you know, kind of niche. And then you may have looked at some specific external niche markets. So what we encourage you to do with niche markets is learn your market. Be an expert in the niche. Now I'm going to use myself as a brief example. So let's say my market is financial advisors that have the desire to work on teams, okay, or on existing teams. So if I'm a center of influence, you're going to ask some questions about who do I know? What's my background? What makes me a potential referrer of folks? Okay. So one of the things I do for my niche market is I've got to be caught up and well-read. So I'm reading Financial Planning Magazine, Trust Advisor, Investment News Daily, Advisor Hub, any number of publications related to that industry so that I can be an industry expert. So in your particular niche markets, you should be well read and up to speed on their areas of interest and expertise. Okay? So they may come from healthcare, legal, it could be accountants, they could be consultants, they could be various subsets of entrepreneurs. They could be the range of nonprofits and endowments. They could be part of service industries, agency representatives in sports, the arts, literary agents. They could be contractors. doctors, specialists in the medical field, manufacturers' representatives, public company executives in specific industries. So what you're doing here is you're narrowing down who these niche markets are, and you're going to take the time to discover who they represent. Now, the first article I sent you had to do with understanding the pain points in your niche markets. And so let's just, the article addresses, you know, kind of one, which is the business owner as an example. So what's on the minds of business owners? Their cash flow. So you might ask how it's currently being managed. Some of them have seasonality to their business where cash flow is the strongest. They want to retain key employees. And so you put together your questions that you want to ask in these particular niche markets. So what we're driving at here is for you to become an expert in a niche, and you want to be able to ask your center of influence, how would you suggest I go about cultivating relationships like you? Okay. So that's how you will develop your COIs going forward, your centers of influence. And so there's specific industry publications and trade journals that you might begin to read to fortify your niche markets. You know, out here where I live, because there's such an influence on startups and tech, you know, folks are reading TechCrunch for technology-related businesses. And so what I've done is I've given you a link, WebWire, which has got an industry list of looking at particular niche markets. And if you all are interested in the nonprofit sector, I've also provided a link to help you grow that particular sector. So once you have achieved kind of this expert status in terms of your level of understanding of your niche, now you can focus and support your efforts cultivating that market and developing centers of influence. And these are folks that move in the prospect or client circles that you are going after. Now, let me stop for a moment and see if you're with me and if you have any questions of what we've covered so far in terms of moving into these niche markets and COIs.
I'm wondering, you said six per producer.
Yes.
That seems like a lot. I'm imagining that you're expecting overlap. But how do you become an expert in 18 niches?
Yeah, I'm not asking you to. Some of them may be overlap. They may be two people in the consultant area. There could be two that are accountants or lawyers. So, you know, separate your COIs from your niche markets. And you may have in one niche market, like I have an individual that's going after Boeing executives, and he's got a person in HR that helps to support his efforts, and he's got a very well-known individual at the company that is referring people. So that's two and one niche market. Does that help you understand that a little better?
Yes.
Okay, good. So one of the things I want to, well, let's go to the next slide here. So the COIs are providing referrals. You're now cultivating these COI relationships. They make introductions. They are willing to enthusiastically endorse you. So when you're going through the segmentation process and you are asking the top 20% of your book, can you enthusiastically endorse your lawyer? Can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? You're getting these names, and if some of those names continue to come up, then what you want to do is ask for a personal introduction. Many of my clients are working with you, and I thought it might be important for us to meet. Okay, again, they like you, they trust you, and they can be professional service providers as well. Okay. All right, now, how do you kind of bring some of this together? Because if you are able to, if you do the math and you get these COIs, they're capable of providing you 12 names per year, okay? So if you had 6 COIs, that would give you 72 prospects. Now, when you get a personal introduction, Joe, what is your close ratio by on a percentage? Is it 80% of the time you're going to, when you get a referral, you're going to close that client? Is it 90? Is it 100%? What do you think just on average it might be?
Well, you're assuming it's a qualified referral that I want to take.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So a qualified referral that I want to take, I think that I'm closing 60 to 70% of it.
Okay, so 60 to 70% of the time, when you get a qualified referral, you're going to close, okay?
That's my guess, yes, sir.
Yeah, I think it's probably a little bit higher when somebody has been recommended to you. And that's going to get higher as you develop your concierge practice. Mijanu, what do you think your close ratio is when you get a personal referral from an existing client?
I would say it's like, I would agree with Joe. I mean, if we want them,
okay,
and it's in the 90s.
Yeah.
And the biggest problem is that getting clear, being clear about what our minimums are and why.
Right.
To potential referral sources.
Okay. Okay, so we're off to a good start. We know that if someone is being introduced, the chances of you all closing them is quite high.
Hey, because I'm going away.
Okay. Yeah. Have we had any as a team, Amir, Nicole, that you can remember that was not somebody that we didn't think would fit in within the package that we didn't end up closing?
I think Mijanu was that lady that had that
Margaret Wolfson.
Yes, that's
well, we didn't want her.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah.
Okay. So
sorry, Janora, I forgot you were there because I couldn't see your forehead.
That's okay.
Okay. So we're on the right track here. So The thing is if you got 12 names per year on the targets that you had, and let's say that your target was 2 million, okay, that you are accepting relationships of $2 million or more in assets, and you received 12 names, and you had 6 COIs, that's 72 prospects. With your target assets of 2 million, that'd be $144 million in new assets. So it begs the question then, do we have room? Do we have room in our books to receive these clients? And we're going to educate our COIs on what our targets are and the type of clients that we're looking for. Okay. So, the 90-day free look. Okay. The 90-day free look and is where you give this referral or this prospect an opportunity to see how you work for a period up to 90 days. Okay. They get a chance to stick a toe in the water. Now you may close them in 2 weeks. You may close them in 3 weeks or sooner, but they get to be treated through Supernova as if they were a client for up to 90 days. They get the monthly calls. They get the agenda announcing that our call is taking place on the third Tuesday of each month at 10:30. They receive an executive summary after the call. This is what we talked about. This is what we discussed. This is what we agreed to. These are the next steps. Okay. That is in part and parcel the 90-day free look. Now, we're going to get you there. This is just giving you an idea of how we're going to build your business going forward. And you might be giving them portfolio updates. You might discuss the firm's strategy, any area of interest that they have reached out and discussed with you. And they're placed on the calendar for a schedule of calls. Okay. All right. That's the 90-day free look. All right. Now, I also sent you a script. It's a VIPSA script. And we're going to spend a few moments covering this. VIPSA is an acronym, and it stands for Value, Important, Permission, Suggest, Advice, and Personal Introduction. And then you provide an executive summary of what you talked about, what was discussed, so on and so forth. So let me review this with you. I don't know if you have it out, but if you do, look at it and let's go through it together. If not, don't worry about it. Look at it after the session. So let's assume now that we're far along in the practice and we've organized around Supernova. And the prospects and clients are on a regular call schedule now, the 12-4-2 concept. Number two, you've elevated the level of service using 12-4-2. Number three, you have monthly client agendas as a team. So, you know, the month of October, you know, we're going to discuss whatever the client's agenda is, but our focus is going to be on long-term care. So that's an example of a monthly agenda. Your clients receive an executive summary after each call. They'll receive an email. It was, I appreciated speaking with you, Mary and Sam. This is what we covered. This is what we agreed to. And these are the next steps. So now what you've done is you've established the rationale for the next call. So nobody's going to come in and argue, wow, is once a month too much? You now already have an agenda for the next call or two. And you do that after each call. You conducted a review or you've done something that provides an outstanding benefit to the client. Now, this is where I talk about don't give anonymously. And what that means is that you're providing something or doing something without any acknowledgement. Okay? always restate what you have accomplished or given to them in a client benefit during the review. So, for example, we've just minimized your tax liability by an additional $10,000 per year by consolidating your debt and moving towards securities-based lending. You want to tell them the benefit of what you did. Or you've created a trust to avoid probate. Or you protected the family against the loss of the primary breadwinner. Or you've grown the assets by, 22% through portfolio management. Or you've helped to solidify retirement income in the amount of an additional $4,000 per year. Or you've saved thousands of dollars and interest payments. So you want to restate the benefit that the client has received. Okay, let's stop for a moment. Are you with me on these points so far?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because this is now how you're going to begin to communicate with your center of influence as well. So at the end of the review, and this may be with your COI. Now, Mary, I'd like to ask if there's anything else that you and your family or husband values in the relationship experience in working with us and the service we provide. And so what you want to hear is, look, I love the frequency of contact. I like the sensitivity to the needs of the family. You've been educating us each month. The service has been excellent and outstanding. I enjoy your problem-solving ability. You all are great listeners. I like your organization. I like your team. These are some of the things that you want to hear. So you want to understand, what do they value in the relationship? Okay. The second component, which is the I, is what else might be important to you? So the reason you ask this question is there may be some things that are particular to that particular client that you're unaware of, and so you ask the question. They may say, well, what do you mean? We just want to make sure that we constantly fine-tune our service and capabilities for you, if that's okay. All right. So now you are, you know, shoring up that relationship. That's the I part. Now, with these scripts, I want you to own them. I want you to massage them, use your own words, can alter them a bit so that you own them. Now we get into the P, permission. With your permission, I would like to briefly brainstorm with you. We're always looking for good clients that we'd like to work with our team. Are we at a point in our relationship that you can enthusiastically endorse us? Now, if you're not delivering Supernova and the 1242 service, they may not be in a position to enthusiastically endorse you. That's why you want to be able to differentiate yourself, okay? All right, so that's the P part. Now we get into, how do we get introduced? Let me explain our introductions process. It's a meeting over coffee, breakfast, or lunch. Now, in this day and age, pandemic, it's got to be done digitally, you know, virtually. So you bring the individual with you and make the introduction. I find out a little bit about them, and we explain who we are and what we do. And at the end of the meeting, we then determine if a one-on-one follow-up meeting with just the potential client is warranted and possible. That's it. No pressure. If there's a follow-up meeting, we explain the 90-day free look. This is when we give the potential client an opportunity to be treated as if they were an actual client, and they're placed on our schedule for contact and follow-up.
and prior to the end of the 90-day period, they make the decision if they'd like to work with us. Now, you can use this right here in the conversation, or you can use it later. So that's completely non-threatening and allows you to take your COI or your client and move to the enthusiastically endorsed opportunity. Okay. But then you go into the next part of it, which is who in your network of family, friends, and neighbors, church members, or business associates that might welcome a personal introduction. And you're kind of helping them a little bit. And how would you suggest we meet him or her? And you're going to listen very carefully for the signals. And you may even ask, what advice would you give me for trying to reach them? And then you close. How would you suggest we meet them? You're listening for the signals. I appreciate you and the time given unto us today. I look forward to the next call, and thanks for arranging a meeting with, you know, Bill or Mary or whomever. And I look forward to our next call. Okay, so now what you've done, it's not enough just to identify a COI. How do we convert it, the relationship, to where this person is a source of referrals? Okay. So that's going to take some practice. It's going to take some drill and rehearse. Any questions about the script and where we're headed and why we organize ourselves and create this format?
No questions.
Okay. Bijanu?
No questions. No, I don't think so.
Okay. So, when you're doing all of this and your engagement with clients, and you all are experienced and you know this, what you're doing is you're establishing this emotional connection with your client. It's the promise. It's the value that you're providing. You're establishing the rapport. You're seeking common ground. You're creating a bridge. And then there's the debrief and the article that I sent you. Then what you want to do is you want to track your performance. How are you doing? Now, you know, when we're in this business, you know, we're perpetually measuring ourselves or being measured. And that is using the game board. When you have your weekly huddle, you know, how are we doing on referrals? How are we doing on plans? How are we doing on segmentation? You know, you're having the call, huddle up with your team, and you are tracking your performance. You're measuring your prospect pipeline. You're measuring your conversions. How many did we talk to this week? We set out, our goal was to speak with 7, but we only talked to 5. Well, what happened to the other 2? Oh, they were no-shows. Okay, why? Did they not get, you know, the invitation about the agenda? Measure your referrals received. Measure your personal introductions and the number of COIs that are giving you referrals. So those really are the 3 phases in this whole process. Okay, so let me stop the share and go back. Okay, so what we've done now is we've gone into this whole concept of centers of influence, establishing your niche markets, how you're going to extract names and referrals from them so that you can grow your practice. So that's why and that's only one aspect of the 7 different strategies we have to
for client acquisition. That's just one. So that's why we have to get our book in a manageable way so that we can have room for the new clients that we want to onboard. Okay. Now let's just open this up for some dialogue. Let's talk about, you know, where we might struggle or where we see some opportunity. Amir, what are you thinking?
No, I mean, I think there's a lot of opportunity in cultivating some COIs from our book, and especially from my end. But just putting the structure in place, I think would be okay. The main thing you need to work on.
So do you have a particular niche market that you are focusing on right now?
So, I mean, I don't have any of those starting natural niches. It's kind of something I'd have to develop. I have a few in my mind that okay. I need to target and cultivate.
But. Okay. Well, it's time now to begin to start thinking about, you know, what groups you would like to target.
Yeah.
You know, I will tell you, you know, I came into business and I didn't know initially who I was going to target. And I started with business owners because I was a business owner and I felt very comfortable with them. And then that gravitated to my interest in sports, and I was able to, you know, get about four sports agents. You know, for the readers that love books, they might get literary agents or what have you. But you have to look at, number one, what your interests are, and is there an affinity toward certain groups?
Right.
Educational institutions, so on and so forth.
Okay.
Joe, tell me about niche markets and who you are kind of focused on right now. Where do they
come from? You know, honesty is my policy. When I started in this business 35 years ago, I had niche markets that I went after. I subscribed to trade magazines like you spoke to. I went after a particular route that worked very, very well. And I had my niche markets, but I have not been going after new business. I've been sitting on my rear end for a good period of time. And so I don't have per se niche markets, and I don't even know that I have the extreme drive to go after and try to create some new niche markets.
Maybe they already exist. And just need to be cultivated. So look at the markets that you have already cultivated and where
I know what they are.
Come from. Yeah.
I know what they are.
Yeah. Give me an example of one as an example.
Well, for the most part, my clientele are sophisticated investors, that are managing their own money. That's always been the way that they have done it. But the markets that I went after, I mean, I used to knock on doors and get businessmen in the particular areas, the environmental waste business, which was a business that I went after in a big way. Also people in the grocery store business. And I used this model, I mean, 35 years ago, before you guys came about, in terms of using trade magazines and subscribing to multiple newspapers and trade magazines to be able to call people and hit them up in industries which I knew. But that's been 25 years. So it's hard for me to tell you that I'm on that path right now.
Right. I think, you know, again, we have to look at this holistically in terms of kind of the change, which is, okay, we're busy right now. When you've got, you know, a couple hundred clients, you're busy. You don't have a whole lot of time for a whole lot of stuff. So, you know, and that's why we have to get the, you know, since 80% of your revenue is coming from 20% of your clientele, So that's why we got to get it down to a manageable level so we can now focus on the type of relationships that you really want to have and have fun and not be encumbered with too many relationships.
I have no problem with the concept of giving up accounts that are not generating the revenues, that are not worth my time. I got no problem with doing that. Once we have the new accounts rolling in and the business rolling in, I got no problem. I know who they are in my head, and I would get them off my book. Okay. You know, pretty easily, in terms of doing that prior to, I've got the time now.
Okay.
It's not that I'm overwhelmed and I don't have the time. I've got the ability to make the effort, in terms of spending time and, I think I know my book pretty well, and I think I know I could definitely, with Amir's help, spend more time looking at my book, and I definitely know who's not generating business that I could that I could be getting rid of. So.
Okay, great. Well, Amir, get going. You got that invitation. So, Bijanu, tell me. Where you're at with what we just covered. Was this what you were looking for in terms of getting into the mix of COIs and your level of understanding? You're on mute.
I'm on mute, I know. I think that we really probably, at least Joe and I, know what our niche markets are because of the years of experience and just the makeup of our books. I think that it would be very helpful probably to the rest of the team if we knew what that was and how we could go about, you know, moving forward on doing things to cultivate more business there. One of mine has always been women, even though I never would have imagined that when I started in the business, but it's turned out to be true. And so, you know, because of the going through this program once before, I started working. I have a mastermind group, which is for women, and I have a quarterly Zoom seminars now with a woman who's a state attorney that we'll be having tomorrow that Nicole has been pushing to make actually happen every quarter.
Okay.
And so taking it from, you know, Joe and I and Amir, you will find that there's a niche there that you don't even realize you have. Yeah. And kind of marking those down and then figuring out how to go about marketing to them, I think would be really helpful because each of them have a different kind of best practice way of marketing other than just getting to know, like you said, getting to know their needs.
Well, I think, the starter is to introduce these folks to your team and your practice and your service model so that they can see that differentiation. The other thing in the book I wrote, Supernova Advisor Teams, when I did my research, women control $11.2 trillion in assets in the market. Okay, so that's
39%.
Huh? 39%. There you go. You got this. So you got the stats. And then the other part of that is a lot of volunteerism in that market. So having a little bit of expertise in the nonprofit and endowment arena might make some sense. For you.
Mishinu is there. Mishinu is there.
Yeah. So those are some of the opportunities. And so cultivating your centers of influence and getting them to enthusiastically endorse you using this VPSA model and script in some way, I think would be very, very helpful, you know, for you. Okay.
So would you suggest that we, the three of us, create our lists and then we'll share them with each other and then we'll see where the overlap is and maybe focus on where the overlap is and where the overlap is and then where each of our greatest strengths are?
Right. Yeah. I would focus on what you're already very good at. And so that you can broadcast to the market that we've got expertise in this particular niche market and begin to have people flocking to you with that level of expertise. I would certainly do that. We're not looking for 18 different markets. I think if you had three niche markets that you were really focused on that were robust enough to bring in the assets that you're looking for, I think that would be fine. That would be perfect. And, I we're all different, but I would certainly think that I've been on a number of boards. Let's just take one for example. I was on the board of the fifth largest all children's hospital in St. Petersburg, Florida. More than 50% of the makeup of that board were women. Okay? I was on the board of the Bay Area Y. The local Y, there were something like 18 associated Ys with that particular nonprofit. But they had a $30 million endowment, and then 50% of the makeup of the board were women. So you get a board member, and then you get the next one and say, look, we've been working together on this board and, you know, I thought it would be, important that we just really get to know each other a little bit better. You know, are you available next Wednesday at 2 for a meeting? You know, and it's got to be a virtual meeting. So I would cultivate where your strengths currently are to answer your question. And that's how I would go about it. Okay. All right. So when we get into the six traits of a COI, what are they looking for in you? Consistency. Do you have a process in place? Consensus. Do you work with your clients to develop a plan that you both can agree on? Authority. Is your reputation stellar in the community? Which I'm sure it is. Similarity. If you've chosen the right COI, you'll have commonality with them and they can relate to you. Reciprocity. Are you willing to give, you know, an equal number of quality introductions? And you may be able to introduce them to people who may not be clients because of your circle of relationships. And then scarcity. Is your concierge practice one that limits the number of people that you work with, you know, which gives them a little bit of appeal that you don't work with everybody, you work with a few, okay? So that's all part of you establishing and creating your brand. Now, we don't leave COIs just because we had this one session that occurred in the second week. We'll be continuing to talk about this. Nicole, what are you valuing from this particular session? What did you get out of it?
You always make me go first.
Okay, I'm going to let you go second. I'll hit up a mirror and then I'll hear you.
No, it's okay. I can go. Okay. The session's been good. I think I think we have to communicate as a team, really, and kind of dive in to see, you know, what we've spoken about, like the COIs, where the overlap would be. I feel like we have the answers, but we just need to, like I said, dive in and talk amongst ourselves and then put an action plan into place. Okay. And I think too, what Mijanu mentioned with like how to best market to the niches is really important. Like I would play a major role in that. Right. So that got me thinking as well.
Okay. Good. Very good. Yeah. Nora, how about you?
Hi. So I really value very much today's session. And in the back of my mind, what I think, or at least what I value most today was, and what got me thinking, it's about the segmentation process. I think that that's something that we need to put a lot of effort into trying to figure out among us what is that process, how we, me, Nicole, can help, you know, the guys, Amir, Mijanu, Joe, perhaps, you know, weed out through what we have based on what they tell us to do. Because I keep thinking to myself, it's like you're saying, we need to free up room. We need to figure out who's going to get this overflow that's really not working in our favor so that we can make room to not only keep the business we want and bring in new business, but take those people and just knock them out with over the top great service, you know?
Right. And, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think it's very, very important that we start thinking about this segmentation. That's what I got from today's meeting.
Okay. So now you're starting to see this relationship between the segmentation that we do so that we can create the efficiency.
Yes.
And then right-size the business and go after the kind of clients that we really want to have, the ones that we cherish in our practice going forward. Okay, so you get it. This is I'd like to spend, obviously, more time, but I'm afraid our time is up, and I've got to go to my next call. Mijanu, you know, I can get like a 10-minute phone call with you just to talk about what you'd like to do next. But so far, we're going through the program, which some is going to be a review for you, I know. But is there anything in particular that you want me to pay attention to for our next session?
I don't really know. I think the center of influence thought process can be a little bit more in detail.
Okay.
Because it's you touched on it, but as I think more part of the niche thought process rather than the, you know, having people that we enthusiastically endorse and then that enthusiastically endorse us.
Sure.
So maybe a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I can certainly do that. You know, it's kind of like got to get a few things, make sure everybody's on the same page before I move forward on some things. So I can agree with you. And this isn't the last time we talk about this subject, to be honest with you. We will continue that. Well, look, you all have been extremely attentive. And, you know, I appreciate the time that you spent. And if you have some questions and some thoughts of some particular points you want me to review with you, feel free to drop me an email. And, of course, you have my telephone number and you can call me as well.
Okay.
But, you know, we covered a lot today. So, you know, happily, let's execute. Let's move the process forward, and you all have a great rest of the week.
Thank you. One thing that was suggested, and I think it's, I would agree, especially given the environment we're in right now and the fact that a lot of things have been changing and we've got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Could we do 2-week intervals instead of weekly?
Sure. Okay. We'll move it. I'll notify the staff and we'll do that.
Yeah, thank you, because it just goes by too quickly and we don't spend enough time on it. And I think it would be more helpful. You said the 20 minute. I think we should be doing that weekly. And so, you know, next week will be when we focus as a team on preparing to have the next call with you.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. Get your team huddles going. Get that part organized. And, I'll make a note and let the staff know. And I appreciate hearing that. All righty, you all.
Thank you.
You take care.
Thank you.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.